All right, last week when I started on patience, I began reading a section from, again, we're taking notes from World Proof Your Kids by Tim Sizemore. This book is in our library unless it's checked out. Marie was tiring of the pressure. She'd been going out with Patrick for several weeks now, and he made it clear that his professed Christian faith did not hinder him from wanting to have sex with her. As if that were not enough, her friends knew what was going on and hounded her at school to learn if she had done it yet. Maria's talk of waiting until marriage did nothing to slow the pressure from Patrick and her friends. It's fun. Why wait? It won't hurt anything. You won't get pregnant. It's natural when you love someone. What are you waiting for? No one stays a virgin anymore. Maria found being patient to be hard work. Not much in her life had prepared her to take this stand, and she wondered how she could hold out for the several years before marriage would be a realistic option. Maria's challenge exemplifies the many similar dilemmas faced by today's youth. Raised on a steady diet of instant gratification, they are grievously unprepared to say no when resisting temptation or waiting for something better to come along. So now if we go into our notes, I'm going to give you the notes very quickly up until where we left off last week. So on your notes, children raised on a steady diet is your first blank of instant gratification, are unprepared to say no when resisting temptation, are waiting for something better to come along. We become so accustomed to the immediate satisfaction of so many of our desires that we have lost the virtue of patience. Lost is your blank. Our impatience results from our wanting such a degree of control in our lives for our purposes. So your two blanks there are control and our. We want people to do as we say and when we say it. That's where we finished last week. And that's why we often get impatient. When people don't do what we want them to do, when we want them to do it, we get very impatient. So now picking up on our notes starting tonight, patience is when we rest, is your blank. Patience is when we rest in the sovereignty of God to know He will do what is right in His time. Do you believe that tonight? If you believe in the sovereignty of God, you do. If you believe in the sovereignty of God, He will do what is right in His time. The call to patience is seen in the Old Testament, the common refrain to wait on the Lord. Wait is your blank there. Let's go to Psalm 37, verse 7. In Psalm 37, verse 7, the Bible says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass." Let's look in verse 34 of the same chapter. "Wait on the Lord, keep His way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it." Look in chapter 25, verse 3, Psalm 25, verse 3. "Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed, but those who be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause." Look in Psalm 27, verse 14. Psalm 27, verse 14. "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." By the way, if you are an impatient person, you know how hard this is. This is hard to be patient. Yeah, this is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's something that God wants to instill in our lives. Let's look in Psalm 33:20. Psalm 33:20. "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Look in Psalm 62:5. Psalm 62, verse 5. "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him." Boy, it's hard to wait silently, isn't it? If you are impatient, it's hard to do that quietly. And yet God says, wait silently for God alone. Interesting verse. Look in Psalm 130, verse 5. Psalm 130. Psalm 130, verse 5. "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word do I hope." And lastly, let's go over to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We get in a lot of trouble when we run ahead of God and when we're not patient. And it's an interesting verse. God says, you know, we spend a lot of energy. And God says, those that wait on the Lord, He'll renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. But this is going to require patience. Coming back to your notes. Patience is tolerating adversity and frustration because we trust in the God who is in control of all things. I thought that was such a great verse or a great statement. Patience is tolerating adversity and frustration because we trust in the Lord who is in control of all things. You know, I meet a lot of people who, because of frustration, because they're not patient, they walk out on God. I've heard people that make a statement, I've had enough. I've had, you know, people do this in marriage. I've had enough. I've tried, it doesn't work. I tried spanking one day, didn't work. You know, you're going to have to be more consistent than one day. And you're going to have to be patient in the process. Try and get your kids to sleep through the night. You know, I tried it last night, didn't work. Well, I'm probably going to have to try it for a week. It's going to take patience. Patience is tolerating adversity and frustration. By the way, adversity and frustration will come into all of our lives. It's part of living. And we're gonna get to kindness and goodness. You can't be kind and good if you never have adversity. Adversity produces that in your life. Continuing on in your notes, tough times will come for everyone. Tough times will come for everyone. Go over to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." And if you're impatient, you read that verse and says, who needs it anyway, right? Wow, if that's what I have for patience, who needs that? I don't think I want to go through trials if that's how I get patience. But notice what he says in verse 4, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Now, we're going somewhere tonight. I'm saying all that for what I have in the next section here. Our children cannot, is your blank. Our children cannot be patient in hardships if they have no training in coping with tough circumstances. Our children can't be long-suffering if we try to avoid all suffering. If you are the overprotective mother, I kind of call it Mama Bear Syndrome. I mean, and you send your little boy, and he's going to go out on his training wheel. And so you get the hockey helmet, the elbow pads, the knee pads. He's geared up. I mean, he could run into a tree and he'd be fine. You know? And as a mom, you feel good about that. But you know what? That's not really helping them. It's not bad when they fall and scrape their knee. It's not bad when they have some trials and hardships. And if as parents, you do everything in your power so that your children never have a problem, they never have a hardship, they have not learned patience. Why? Because everything went their way. We use another term. We call it spoiled. And when you spoil a child, they have no patience. So a child who's spoiled, they have no patience. They get impatient waiting in line. Anything, they're not going to wait to have sex. Why? They've always had what they've wanted. Now they have to say no to themselves? I want to challenge you, if the first time they're saying no to themselves is when they're late teens, early 20s, they're failing. Why? They didn't learn patience. They didn't learn to say no to themselves. And so as we are raising our children, you need to think about this and say, you know what? Sometimes being that overprotective parent, you know, is not as helpful as we think it is. And when we're taking care of everything, we're, you know, how many parents have had this scenario? Your children come to you and say, do you have, what's that big whiteboard cardstock paper? You know what I'm talking about? Poster board. They come to you and say, Mom, Dad, do you have any poster board? Now, how many of you just naturally go out and buy poster board? That's just on your regular shopping list. You just have it hanging around the house all the time. Most parents don't. So they'll sound like this, Mom and Dad, do you have poster board? No, Johnny, we don't have poster board. Why do you need poster board? Well, I have a project due. Of course, when is Johnny going to tell you it's due? Tomorrow. Do you know how many parents will move heaven and earth to get poster board and do the work for that child? It's a bad lesson. You know what a good lesson is? Johnny, that's a problem. Because we don't have poster board. And you're probably going to be in big trouble tomorrow. You say, that's mean. No, that's a, let me tell you, that's a great lesson over poster board. Are you with me tonight? Because the lessons get a lot tougher when they get older. And if you say, oh no, I got a little Johnny, you got a project. You just told me about it tonight and it's due tomorrow morning at 7. We'll make it happen. You're not teaching them patience. Our children can't be long-suffering if we try to avoid all suffering. Something to think about. Again, we're working on how do we train character into our children. Practical suggestions to promote patience. Preschool children. Number one, deliberately use the term patient with children. Actually use the word. Children need to be patient. Number two, teach stories from the Bible that focus on God's providence and the patience of His people. Number three, children learn by watching. Oh, boy. How do you respond when someone cuts you off and you're driving? You get the manual. You know, do you break into the doxology? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Or does your child learn some words they hadn't heard before? What happens when you can't find a parking spot? What happens when the drive-thru takes 2 extra minutes? I mean, what are they watching in your life? Do they see that you're patient? Or do they say, wow, mom and dad are impatient? How do you handle it when things go wrong? By the way, because things are going to go wrong, right? And your kids are sponges. They're soaking it up. They're watching you. Model patience in front of your children. This means you can't kick the dog. This means you can't put holes in the wall. By the way, these are all things that happen. You can't kick the tire. You can't throw the tool across the garage floor if you're going to model patience for your children. What are they going to see when things don't go right for you? What about elementary children? Number one, limit access to entertainment activities until chores and homework are done. Let me encourage you. If you have kids, make them do their chores first. Don't just say, hey, kids, you can go ahead and play video games all day long. That's okay, your room isn't made. That's okay, none of your chores got done. And by the way, if you have chores, you got to keep, we always taped a list on the door. Because even whose turn is it to clean up supper? If you have more than one child, that can be a debate. No, no, this isn't my night. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Hey, just go to the chart and say, hey, you're on Wednesday night. It's your night. Go clean it up. But limit access to entertainment activities until chores and homework are done. Number two, avoid buying things that they want on a whim. Ever walk through a grocery store with an elementary? They want everything. Ever Christmas time, give them the Sears catalog. What isn't circled? I want all of this. Again, we would use another term. We'd use the term spoiled. If you say, yeah, my kid wants it, so I'm just going to go get it. Have them save money for those things and have them earn the funds by working. Give them extra chores around the house. Maybe it's something you say, I'm happy to buy that for them. But you know what? If you do some extra chores, then we'll go out and get that. Have them save money for those things. Have them earn the funds by working. Do you think young people of today's society need some help in this area? I tell you, we live in a day and age where people are in debt. They don't know how to save. Why? Because they're not patient. They get married and they want everything mom and dad have day one of marriage. Of course, it took mom and dad 30 years to accumulate all of that stuff. But you know what? We got credit cards. Hey, why can't we go out and get what we want? Yeah, let's just go get a brand new bedroom set and a brand new dining room set and brand new living room set and let's just get brand new everything. I mean, some of you remember that didn't grow up that way. I mean, everything we had when we started was people taking to the dump. We said, no, we'll take that. I mean, I remember our bed. I remember my wife and I holding onto our queen set. She had one arm out one window. I had one arm out the other window. We had a mattress. That was awesome. We had a couch that had no back on the couch. You had to put the couch against the wall because if you didn't, you could see it was just wood in the couch in the front. I mean, that, and it didn't kill us. It didn't hurt us. And if we're not helping our kids learn that, you know what, you just can't go out and get everything you want the instant you want it. You need to have some patience. You need to save. Let's save up for some things. Again, this is just personally what we do, but ever since our kids had a job, we required them to put 60% of it into savings. Say, well, how can you do that? It's their job. Well, they live in my house and they eat my food, so they can play by my rules. That's what I tell my kids. When are they thankful for that? It comes time to get a car, go to college. You know, they're going to be thankful that you helped them do that. And so help your kids by teaching them to save for the things they want. Number three, add the terms of providence and sovereignty to their vocabularies as you teach them why it is good to wait for the Lord. Look at all those verses we read in Psalms about waiting for the Lord. If you're a type A personality, that's a hard thing. It's hard to wait. And yet God challenges us. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to be patient. And we have to understand that sometimes our best plans don't work out. And that's God's sovereignty. And we just say, you know what? I didn't see that one coming. That caught me completely off guard. But you know what? That's the sovereignty of God. God allowed that in my life. Did Job see what was coming Job's way? Not at all. In fact, when Job finally questions the Lord, he says, God, I don't get it. What's going on? Why are you doing this to me? Joseph, did that make sense? 14 years? I mean, you could go on and on and on, but it was God's sovereignty. God had a plan, and God was doing something. Teach that to your children. Help your young children understand God has a plan, and God's working it out, and it's not always going to go your way. And number four, reward patience. When you see your children are patient, reward them for that. Let them know you noticed. Tell them how much that meant to you. Teenagers, don't just give privileges, but have your teen earn them by demonstrating an appropriate responsibility. When I was in Chicago, a very wealthy white-collar area, it was almost a kid's right to get a brand new car when he's 16. That was just nothing. That's a bad move. Have your kids earn responsibility. Number two, question them as to why waiting for certain things is preferable. Why is your blank there? Ask them to think about how God's providence plays a role in their reasoning. Again, you want to be with teenagers, you want to be engaging them. You want to be communicating. Ask lots of questions. Talk to them. Number three, by now your children should have more choices, but the privilege of choosing should come from patient acceptance of times when they can't have their way. There should be times you tell your teenagers no. I have yet to meet a teenager that liked that answer. But they need it. And it's a good thing sometimes to tell your teenagers, no, we can't do that. No, you can't have so-and-so over tonight. No, we're not going to do that. Now, you don't want to say no all the time. But there are times. But I tell you, a lot of parents struggle with the opposite. We just want to do everything for our kids. And we're not teaching them patience. Number four. Actively involve your teen in church activities where they must deal with other people. Nothing helps you become more patient than working with people. And the more you work with people, the more it will challenge you to be patient. All right, let's continue on into our next section there. Unkindness. The definition of kindness, acts of good favor toward others is your blank. So doing something nice for someone else is what we would call they're being kind. Selfishness comes pretty naturally to toddlers. Have you ever, those of you ladies who've worked in the nursery, have you ever seen a kid take a toy away from another kid? If you have two kids of your own, have you ever seen your own kids, one kid take it away from another kid? Selfish comes pretty naturally to toddlers. It is sharing that has to be taught and retaught. Our world does not encourage kindness, where we go out of our way to help another person, is your blank. Am I going too fast tonight? Yes? Okay, you're doing good. Okay. It's easy to correct our children for unkind deeds, but it is a challenge to open their eyes to how much kindness is needed in our world. Correct, open, and world are your three blanks. Would you agree with that statement tonight? Do you think that our world needs kindness, especially from Christians? We are to be kind because God is kind, is your blank. Go to Psalm 145, verse 17. And aren't we thankful that God is kind tonight? Two of us are, that's good. Psalm 145, verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. That has the idea of kindness. Look in Hosea 11, verse 4. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Hosea 11, verse 4. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. He shall not return to the land of Egypt. What's he talking about here? God's kindness. Continuing in your notes, we should point out to our children God's many kindnesses toward us. Jesus lived a life of kindness, is your blank. Go over to Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Mark 10, verse 13. Then he brought the little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up into his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Basically, he wasn't a big shot. Basically, they were saying, "Hey, Jesus is too busy for kids. Doesn't have time for kids." And Jesus says, "No, that's not true." Why was that? Because he was kind. Look in Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went to a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. You hopefully remember me preaching on this when we went through Luke. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he was dead, sat up, and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. And fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." Why did God do this? He tells us in verse 13, he had compassion. He was kind. Remember, what is kindness? It's acts of good favor toward others. Look in chapter 13, Luke 13, verse 10. I was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no wise rise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. He said to the crowd, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" What a great statement. Jesus is kind. I can't wait to preach on that passage of Scripture. Look in Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 15. And they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." Let's go over and look at John 8. I'll tell you what, for sake of time, you can read John 8 on your own. Same with John 19. Let's come back to your notes. Kindness is commanded. Kindness is commanded. Some of you have Ephesians 4:32 memorized. If you don't have it memorized, you should. It's one of the rules of communication. If you've ever been in my office for very long, I try and have you memorize the four rules of communication. They all come from Ephesians 4. Be honest, keep current, attack the problem, not the person. Act, don't react. Hopefully those of you that should know that, remember that tonight. What's Ephesians 4:32 say? Be ye what? Kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kindness is commanded. Look in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, or in some translations, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Look in Proverbs 31:26. We think of this as the virtuous woman, and some refer to this as the impossible woman. Look in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31, verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of, what's the word? Kindness. Go over to Titus chapter 2, verse 5. But the older women were to teach the younger women. Titus 2, verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Again, that word good there would have the idea of kindness. Coming back to your notes, the golden rule offers a plain guide to being kind. Go back to Luke 6, verse 31. Your blank there is the word plain. The golden rule offers a plain guide to being kind. In Luke 6, verse 31, it's what we refer to as the golden rule. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. The same would be true of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, 25 to 37. So how do we teach kindness? Number one, we must confront, as your blank. We must confront mean-spirited behavior in our children, punishing it as it deserves. And this would be mean-spirited toward pets as well as their fellow playmates. I don't have the time to develop this, but God is clear in how we are to treat animals. And if you see a child that's tormenting an animal, that needs to be punished. It's not kind. Number two, become more aware of God's kindness toward us. Count your many blessings in front of your children. Those are your blanks. Become more aware of God's kindness toward us. Count your many blessings in front of your children. I think this is one thing that Joan and I have thought, I wish we had done more. God does so many great things. And especially at Meadowlands, where we're seeing great things pretty regularly. And sometimes I just forget to tell my kids, hey, this is the great thing that happened today. As God does good things in your life, share that with your kids. Tell them what God's doing. Remind them of how God's blessed you. Number three, take the initiative to seek out the needs of others. What is that kindness? Take the initiative to seek out the needs of others. Practical ways to teach kindness for preschool children. Number one, give your little ones opportunities to help around the house. Those of you that have preschool children, how much of a blessing is that going to be? Are they going to be a real help to you? Are you going to say, but you know what? By giving them that opportunity, it's good for them to learn to be kind. And for you to tell them, wow, you are such a good helper. Give them those opportunities to help around the house versus you doing everything. Number two. Now is the time to catch any unkind behaviors and correct them. Habits are more easily prevented than broken. And I think every adult in this room would amen that. You know that's true. Habits are easily prevented than they are broken. So correct it when they're small. Number three, read stories showing kindness. There's a lot of good books out there. There's a book of virtues. Get books that just give great bedtime stories about kindness. Elementary school children. Number one, during family worship, take turns with each family member offering a sentence of prayer, thanking God for something. Say, tonight we're just going to go around the room and each one of you, and it's your turn to pray. You just say one sentence, and in your sentence, you just thank God for something. By the way, that will be one of your sweetest times of devotions. It will surprise you what your kids thank God for. And just, you can do it once, twice, however, you know, may say, we'll just do it till someone runs out of something to thank God for. But it's a great way to help our children to think about kindness. Number two, encourage them to participate in a ministry project in your area or in another part of the world. Have them do extra chores to earn money to help with the project. What is that? It's teaching them kindness. We're doing something for someone that will never pay us back. Number three, keep a tight rein on teasing and other forms of disrespect between brothers and sisters. Have you ever been around a family where they just allow the kids to go at each other? That just gets on you after a while. And if you have several children, don't let them fight. You know, my wife was great at this. She just had a phrase, pursue after peace. If we'd hear our kids starting to go after each other. Now, I have three kids. Now that one has left our home and the other one's heading off to college, you know, once they leave the house is when you hear all the stories of all the things you didn't know that went on. And so my children did not pursue after peace all of the time. And they definitely had a devious side to them that we have found out about. But as much as you can, you tell your kids, no fighting. It's not kind. God says, what's Ephesians 4:32? Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving. It's not okay to go after each other. It's not okay to hit your sister with a baseball bat. It's not okay. Number four, engage them in doing acts of kindness for others. Get them to do something for someone else where they'll not get paid back. What about teenagers? Keep talking to them about speaking kindly to and about others. Number two, thank you notes and thoughtful letters are a lost art form. Have your teen do this. When they get gifts, have them sit down and write a thank you note. When they get things at Christmas time, have them sit down and write a thank you note. And they say, well, you know, we don't want to. Well, that's not an option. If you're living at our house, it's not kind. Thoughtful letters. you know, it's funny, over the years of marriage counseling, I met a lot of women. Well, my wife would have been in this category early in our marriage. But, you know, I meet women who come to their husband and say, all I want is a love letter. Just one. And so he's in my office. And so I say, okay, that seems pretty straightforward. Your wife would like a love letter. I'd like you to write one love letter by the time I see you next week. And they come in my office, and that's all the homework I give them. That's your homework for the week. You just write one love letter, one thoughtful, meaningful, passionate love letter to your wife. Comes back in. Hey, how'd that go? Pastor, I didn't write it yet. Well, that was your one set of homework. Okay, so this week, I want you to write a love letter that's thoughtful, passionate, week two. I have some guys that just don't do it. And that's hurtful to their wife. And you shake your head and go, that seems so simple. Just sit down and write the letter. But some guys just say, I just can't. Well, they say they can't. I'm sure if I said, if you write that letter, I'll give you $1 million, they'd write a love letter. It's not that they can't. It's that they're not willing to. And it's not kind. It's very hurtful. So let's teach our kids to do this. Number three, encourage your teens to serve the Lord by serving others. Have them work in the nursery. Have them be a Sunday school helper. Have them work as an usher. Take them to the Good Samaritan, our ministry at Good Sam. There's lots of ways that we can teach our children to be kind. Well, we're kind of out of time. Let me just get you started here on goodness. What's the difference between kindness and goodness? When you see the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness. In fact, I think I quoted it wrong. Let's go there really quick. Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. What's the difference then between kindness and goodness? I mean, it's separated in the fruits of the Spirit. It's right there. There has to be a difference. Well, kindness was the acts of good favor toward others. Goodness is who you are when no one is around. And we would define this primarily like we would define character. When you say someone is really good, that's just who they are. It comes from the inside. And that's why I'll make this statement at the bottom. This, at the end of this section, it seems this means promoting goodness in our children is a long-term project, not a three easy step thing. Because goodness is coming from the inside. But there's some things that we can do to salt the oats to help our kids work on this area of goodness. I'll just give you the next line here. It is the godly character and actions of our children when no one is looking. That's what goodness is. Are our kids good? Are they doing the right thing when no one is looking? Have you ever walked in and one of your kids is praying at their bed? You didn't tell them to. You didn't know that's what they were doing. You just walked in and they were doing that. Have you ever seen your kids just doing something for someone else? You didn't tell them to do it. It wasn't your idea. It was completely on their own. And you're just like, wow, they are so good. Wow, where did that come from? That's so exciting to see that act of goodness. And we'll pick this up next week when we continue on. So my goal is to get through all of the fruits of the Spirit before I leave. And we're going to be tight, but we're going to try and do it. But these are great character things that we need to be teaching our children. Our kids need this stuff. And I hope you're not bored as we're going through what we need to teach our children in the area of character. Let's close in prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity we've had to study just this area of patience and kindness. God, I pray that you'd help our children to be patient and kind. God, we take it for granted that hopefully they're seeing that we are patient and kind, that they're watching our behavior and soaking up what they see us do. And Lord, we love our kids. We love for them to do right. And Lord, there's probably something in all of us that would like to do too much for our children. God, help us to understand how that hurts them in the area of patience. That if our children get everything they want when they want it, it will actually hurt them when they're teenagers and young adults. God, help us to have the wisdom to teach our children this important character trait. And God, help us to teach them to be kind. God, there's so many people in our world that are unkind. And God, I pray that as we model this for our children, as our children grasp these character traits and instill them in their own hearts, God, help us to have a great impact and influence on the people around us. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these clear instructions. Lord, all the times we read tonight to wait on you. Lord, for those of us who struggle with patience, help us to take that to heart tonight. God, we love you and we love your word. Thank you so much for giving us the instructions that you've given us. Give us safety as we travel home tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed tonight.